J.T. Cluck, the head rooster, had just made a shocking revelation. It took me a moment to adjust to the news. Then, what? A skunk in the machine shed? Why wasn't I informed of this?
You was probably sleeping your life away on that gunny sack, would be my guess. And besides that, no rooster worth his salt needs to go running to a fool ranch dog every time there's a little danger lurking on the place. I can take care of my own business, Pooch.
Maybe you can and maybe you can't, but the fact remains that you failed to report the unauthorized entry of a skunk on my ranch.
That's right, mister. And what do you aim to do about it?
What I aim to do about it was remove about 5 pounds of feathers from his tail section, which I did. I mean, who did that bird think he was talking to? The head of ranch security does not take trash off the cats or the chickens, period. It cost JT a bundle of feathers, but he learned a valuable lesson about mouthing off to the wrong dog. My goodness, you should have seen him jump and heard him squawk. It was very satisfying. Just, by George, made my whole day better and brighter. Of course, it brought my interrogation to a sudden stop since JT went highballing back to the chicken house. But that was okay because I'd learned all I needed to know anyway. Fitting feathers, I returned to the spot where my assistant was waiting. Well, Drover, this case has taken an interesting twist.
What?
I said this feather has taken an interesting twist.
Twist what?
No. I said this has taken an interesting... I seem to have a mouth full of patois. He stared at me.
Did you know that you've got a mouth full of feathers?
That's what I just said, Drover. Could it be that you aren't paying a fee?
I thought you said you had a mouth full of petunias.
I did not say that. I said patui, not petunias.
I'll be darned. What's a patui?
The runt was beginning to strain my patience. Patui is a sound one makes when he's spitting feathers.
Oh, well, that makes sense, because you got feathers all over your mouth. Maybe that's why you were spitting feathers.
I know that, you brick. Once again, you're repeating the obvious and beating a dead plow.
Horse.
What?
A dead horse.
A dead horse? Where?
Well...
Hurry up, Drover. We don't have a second to spare. Where's the horse?
Well, you said dead plow, and I think you meant dead horse.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm all confused, and quit yelling at me. I can't stand to be yelled at.
Took a deep breath, closed my eyes, and walked several paces away. All right, Patui, let's start at the beginning.
My name's not Patui.
I know you're... I caught myself and lowered my voice. I know your name, Drover. What concerns me right now is whether or not you've gone insane. First, you talked about petunias. Then you said something about a horse that had been murdered in cold blood. Then there was some nonsense about... What was it?
A dead plow?
That's it. Drover, a plow can't possibly be dead because it was never alive to start with.
I know, but...
Let me finish. You see, Drover, death grows out of life, and life is what this life is all about. Is that clear? All at once, his eyes seemed to cross.
I'm so confused, I think I'll go back to bed.
Not a chance of that, son. During my interrogation of J.T. Cluck, I learned that we have a skatooey skunk running wild on the ranch.
Oh, my gosh, what's a skatooey skunk?
I looked deeply into the huge vacuum of his eyes. Are you trying to make a mockery of this investigation? Have you no respect for law and order? Is nothing sacred anymore? Tell me, Drover, because... My ears shot up. Operating entirely on their own, they had picked up the sound of the screen door slamming up at the house. because it could very well be scrap time up at the yard gate. In other words, drop everything and go to red alert. Unless we hurry, the cat might get some of our scraps. And with that, we went streaking down to the yard gate. We never did get around to finishing our conversation, but that was okay with me. Trying to carry on an intelligent, coherent, meaningful conversation with Grover can be very discouraging. Sometimes I even think, oh well, there's no sense in beating a dead plow. We went streaking to the, I've already said that, but the important thing is that we got there before the cat did. I mean, we beat him bad, which is one of the best things that can happen to a cat on our outfit. Have we discussed cats? Maybe not. I don't like them. Not even a little tiny bit. Have no use for them whatsoever. A cat is a totally worthless creature, and if I were in charge of designing and directing the world, you know, that's not such an outrageous thought, me being in charge of the entire world. Just look at my record as head of ranch security. It's pretty impressive. I mean, any dog who can operate a ranch can operate something bigger. The world is bigger. Therefore, it follows from simple logic that, well, maybe you get the drift. So where were we? Oh, yes, at the yard gate. Grover and I had gotten there first and were waiting for Sally Mae to come outside with our scraps. Under ranch law, we were entitled to first dibs on the goodies, which on any given day might include roast beef trimmings, which I like very much, fatty ends of bacon, which I love, and several slices of burned toast, which I can live without. Pete came slinking up to the gate, purring, holding his tail straight up in the air, and rubbing on everything in sight. He tried to rub on my leg. Get away, cat. That rubbing business drives me nuts. He grinned up at me.
Hi, Hanky. Did you find the phantom dog in the machine shed?
I not only found him, Kitty, but also gave him a thrashing and ordered him off my ranch.
How interesting. Did he remind you of yourself?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. He was arrogant, overbearing, pompous, and not very smart. Suddenly the cat choked. At first I thought he was having a seizure, but then it appeared that he was only laughing. I'm glad to see that you're enjoying this, Kitty, but I'm afraid the joke is on you. The cat screeched with laughter and nodded his head. Not only did you give an incorrect description of the phantom dog, but you neglected to mention that he was traveling with a companion, a smallish white dog who called himself the Handsome Prince. Grover stepped forward.
Yeah, and I saw him myself, didn't I, Hank?
That's correct, Grover, and you'll be rewarded for that.
When?
Later. The cat went into another fit of laughter. I glared down at him, then turned my gaze on Grover. This cat seems to have come unhinged, and I haven't even gotten to the part about the skunk.
Yeah, I bet he won't laugh about that.
Pete stopped laughing, sat up, and wiped his eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about the skunk.
I was just about to do that, Kitty. You see, after checking out your garbled report, we learned through our intelligence network that the Phantom Dog and the Handsome Prince released a fully armed, heat-seeking, infrared, turbocharged skunk on this ranch, and we have reason to suspect that he will strike at any moment. The cat fell over on his back and howled with laughter. I shook my head. Grover, did you find anything funny in what I just said?
It sounded pretty serious to me.
I agree. So what's wrong with this cat?
I don't know. Maybe he's just dumb.
Well, yes, of course. We knew that all along. But there's more to it than that. I'm beginning to wonder if he's come down with some terrible disease, such as turkey lobosis.
Gosh, what's that?
The victim begins to act like a crazed turkey, Grover. It strikes without warning, and there's no cure for it. The disease just has to run its course. Still laughing, the cat struggled to his feet and staggered down the hill towards the gas tank. We watched and shared a moment of sadness.
Poor old Pete.
Yes, even a cat deserves better than this. But we must go on with life's journey, Drover. And with that, we tore our attention away from Pete and turned to the sad business of eating his share of the scraps.